God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. Good to see you tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and open to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, please. I want to read a couple of verses here and pray and trust that God would speak to our heart. Verse number one, Isaiah the prophet says, "Who hath believed our report?"
Yes, sir.
He asked the second question, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?"
Yeah.
Verse number eight, he was taken from prison and from judgment. He asked the third question, "Who shall declare his generation?" For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Our Father, tonight, Lord, we thank you, Lord. And it seems so small to say thank you.
Yes.
We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much.
Thank you, Lord.
That he gave himself to the cruel cross, shed his blood. The Bible said, smitten of God, that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could know indeed that it's well with our soul. Father, we ask tonight, God, the blessed Holy Ghost would speak to our hearts. Encourage, Lord, your people. Oh, dear God, may we see him tonight.
Yes.
Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose, all preachers that are here, and anytime you go into a meeting such as this, is this thing on? Brother, I don't have enough education to cut this thing on. On.
Okay, you're good.
On. Preaching needs to be on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. But I like every other preacher, I guess, when coming to meetings, I know as I was coming down the highway and even previous to leaving, I always thinking about, Lord, if I was to preach,
right,
what in the world could I say,
yeah,
that would be a blessing and a help? I'm like you, that I want to be a blessing to God's,
sure,
people.
Amen.
And a help and encouragement. And this is all that God laid upon my heart was Isaiah 53.
Amen.
And these three questions that the prophet asked, and I believe we can find Bible answers,
yes, sir,
for those questions. I want to say before I get into the message that I appreciate the Island Ford Baptist Church. I've been coming here a long time. I don't know, a long time. I appreciate their faithful support of our ministry and evangelism as we hold some revival meetings, and we have a tent and hold some tent revival meetings. In the last little while, we've been working with a group of people there back in Virginia about starting an old-fashioned, independent King James,
amen,
Bible preaching church.
Amen.
And I want you to help us pray about that. We have about a dozen people that come just all the time. And every once in a while, we have a big crowd. We have 20. Amen. And we're meeting there in a dear lady's house. A dear lady saved many years ago.
Amen.
A precious widow lady. We meet in her house. I stand in the kitchen and preach, and they sit in the dining room. Amen.
Amen.
I think we're going to name the church Come and Dine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But they all down the hallway, sometimes in the living room. Sometimes,
amen,
they're sitting in the room. I can't see them. Amen. Because of the walls and so forth. But you pray that the Lord would give us a building.
Yes,
according to His will. And I want to say that my heart has been blessed to be here. Just got in last night and then today. Boy, I'm preaching good.
Amen.
I mean, it's food for my soul. Yes, if you didn't get anything, then you need to turn your cup the other way. Amen.
Amen.
You got it upside down.
Yep.
And I appreciate the good preaching. Then our dear brother preached on revival this morning. The great need of revival. You know, if somebody can preach like this dear brother preached, then play the piano like that. It's almost not fair. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. If that piano wasn't in tune, I couldn't tell. Amen. Sounded pretty good to me. Amen. And I say this about the Allen Ford Baptist Church. In all the years that I've come here, Pastor Hall, my dear friend, and now Pastor Shepherd, and the music has always been good. Amen. Blessing and encouraging. Amen. And I appreciate that. I couldn't say that about everywhere that I've ever been. Amen. And it seems these days, I just can't hook up with this contemporary music stuff. And I'll be quite honest with you, I despise it. Amen. And I get in trouble because I say that. Amen. But I'll just have to stay in trouble. I get to heaven, I won't be in trouble for saying that. Amen. Because that mess won't be there. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you see so much today that somebody was saying some time back that how things are so different today. In the world around us, things are so different. But in our churches, in our independent Baptist churches, it is so different.
Yes, sir.
Today. I was saved, and I know I can hardly believe what I'm fixing to say, but I was saved 42 years ago.
Amen.
And July the 19th, I was saved 42 years. And I was saved on the first Monday night in a two-week tent revival meeting.
Amen.
We sung that song tonight as the service started, Jesus Saves.
Yes.
Boy, I thought as we sung, boy, I can remember the first time I heard that song. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't own a Bible when I got saved. I was 20 years old, almost 21. I was just in the world and sin and all that the world was doing in the 60s and the 70s, I was doing.
Yep.
It's all I knew. And everybody most that I knew was doing what I was doing.
Right.
Well, I got invited to that tent revival meeting. They were starting a little independent Baptist church. They had 11 members.
Amen.
Going to have a tent revival. I went home and told my wife, get ready, we're going to a tent revival. She said, what is it? I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm going. Been under conviction. People have been witnessing to me on the job.
Right. Amen.
Mission feels not always at a door you knock on.
Right.
Sometimes it's to that co-worker you're working beside.
Amen.
Of. People telling me about the Lord and invited me to the meeting, and I went. The first time ever that I really realized that Jesus Christ loved me. I've been told that, but it didn't really register with
right.
me.
Right.
And I understood that Jesus Christ loved me in spite of all my sin, all the ungodliness that I've been involved in, in spite of all the cursing of His name, despising of those that had witnessed to me, yet Jesus still loved me, cared about me, and He had shed His blood for me. He had saved me if I just trusted. That night, I trusted Jesus Christ, saved my soul. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't own a Bible. I didn't know anything about Christianity. I didn't know the difference between Baptist and Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran. I didn't know none of that. I mean, I knew I'd been by the buildings, had different names on the signs, but I didn't know really nothing about it. And I didn't know that He was going to get in me. I was a sinner, and I was on my way to hell, and I didn't want to live in sin. And I was sick of sin, but I couldn't get out of it. I tried to reform. I tried to quit this and quit that and clean out the refrigerator and clean out my life and tried to, but I found no peace. And I didn't know how, and I fell right back into sin. I didn't know how to get out of sin, but Jesus knows how to get you out of sin. Jesus knows how to save you, and He gets in you. And I got in that pickup truck that night going home after that tent meeting, and I didn't sleep any that night. Not because I was troubled. I mean, you're talking about wound up. I was wound up. Amen. I mean, that I always thought, you know, that religious stuff is for the kids and the old folks, and it's not real. You know, I'm a man. I can handle life and all the issues. I don't need all that stuff. But I found out He's real.
Amen.
Amen. And He had got in me. Amen. And I didn't, still, I didn't own a Bible. But somehow I knew that something had happened. It wasn't just prayed a prayer. It wasn't just walked down a sawdust trail. But something had happened in my soul. And I knew that somehow the guilt of sin was gone. And somehow it was all right in my soul with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a few days later after that, I received a Bible. Preacher Ralph Neal, Brother Herbert remembers Ralph Neal, he's in glory now, brought me a Bible, and it reads just like this one.
Amen.
Amen. That's 42 years ago, a King James Bible. Boy, I began to read that Bible, and first time I read in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. First time I ever read that verse, I said to myself, and I was down the woods by the creek reading my Bible, praying. And I said, Lord, that's exactly what's happened to me. I've become this is all brand new. I'm just a different person. This is Jesus came in my heart. I believe He still saves the same way. I don't believe He saves some people real good.
Right. Come on, man.
And some people just kind of halfway saved.
Right. No.
Huh?
No.
I believe He saves the same way.
Right.
I believe He saves and separates and delivers those that are saved in the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm not a special case. I'm just a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. What I'm saying, I have no special abilities. I have nothing. If anybody in all the world would have probably never gotten saved, it's me. I had no background of Christianity. I had no real access. I did go to a little Methodist church a little bit when I was a little boy. But they didn't preach the gospel to me. Just a social club. We sat in Sunday school and spit balls at everybody in there. It was just really a social club. And I'm not trying to necessarily knock Methodists, but I'm just saying they didn't preach to me. I went on the conviction just before I got saved. I went to a little Southern Baptist church not far from where I lived out in the country. And they didn't preach to me the gospel of Christ. I believe I'd have got saved there and then. Had they preached to me, but they didn't. They wanted me to join the church and said, you don't even have to get baptized and join the church, because they wanted me to play on the softball team of the church. And I told them, I'm not interested in playing softball. I'm interested in knowing something about this heaven and hell business. It's what I'm concerned about. Amen. They worried about softball. Amen. I play enough softball. I want to know something about God, but sad, they didn't know any more about God than I did. That's nothing. Nothing. I'm sad. Sad. I mean, if I'd have just been dependent on them, religious people, to get me saved, to give me the gospel and go to heaven, I'd have had to go to hell. They didn't give me the gospel. But I'm glad God knows what's going on. God had a little place there with a little handful of people there. Loved God. Wanted to preach the gospel. They knew there was no other way but Jesus Christ. And they preached to me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I got saved by the grace of God. And that 2-week tent revival meeting was over. And I don't know why I'm giving all this testimony. I've got something to preach. Amen. The pastor of the church, because I didn't know, I met him in the meeting. I didn't know him. I never heard him preach. The visiting evangelist was preaching each night. And they had some kind of little meeting of the men there toward the close of the second week of the meeting. And they said, come on up. Of course, I come every night after I got saved. Amen. I thought you were supposed to.
Amen.
Amen. Like the loss of my job because of it. The man that owned the company said, we're going to work overtime. I said, no, we're not going to work overtime. Amen. I got the key to the company truck and I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. I'm going to the tent revival. Amen. You can hire or fire, whatever you got to do. I'm going, I found something there that I've been looking for.
Amen.
I never found it anywhere else. They said, I want you to come. They're meeting in the choir loft there under the on platform under the tent. Said, well, come on up. And I don't know what they're talking about. And I said, well, you know, I'm not a member of the church. And, it's none of my business what y'all do. You know, I got nothing to do with this. And he said, are you going to join the church? And I said, I don't know. And he looked at me kind of funny. And I said, I never heard you preach. I just met you and I don't know you. I said, but if you're going to preach to me what that man right there has been preaching to me all these 2 weeks, I'm going to join. Amen. I'm going to join up. Yes, sir. Amen. And I did. Amen. And they preached the word of God to me. Amen. Meeting in the old building, the wind would blow the curtains, would blow on the inside. Amen. Amen. But that's where I got a Bible and began to serve our Lord and learn the things of God. I appreciate the goodness of God. Now I was thinking, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but I was thinking there, before I was saved, I was a young boy, just, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, at the house there where we lived. Two men came and knocked on our door one evening, Saturday evening, visiting, and told us the gospel. And I was there, my mama was there, and I'm a baby in the family, my next brother was there. And they gave us the gospel. And they left us there with a little God Simple Plan of Salvation gospel tract.
Amen.
And I didn't know it then, but I found out it later. That was Brother Herbert Williams.
Amen.
Brother Mason. Brother Robert Mason.
Amen.
Now I read that little track and kept that little track, and I read it till I wore it out. I mean, just comes with frazzles, but I didn't get saved. I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. But I thank God for those that sowed the seed.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's easy to get discouraged when you don't always see the results that you want to see and long to see. Boy, it's good to know that one sows and one waters, but God does give the increase. God help us. If I could say anything to you, it's God's people, it's God's preachers, it's missionaries and pastors and just God's people. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep sowing the seed.
Amen.
You don't have the power to make it grow. You don't have the ability to make it sprout.
No.
You don't have the ability to make it bear fruit in someone's life.
Right.
But praise God, we know one that does.
Amen.
You never know what you're doing when you sow that seed and how God will use that. Maybe not so much as you can see right then. But down the road somewhere in that life, God can take that seed. The Word of God's not bound. It's not bound by time. Amen. God bring it back to memory seed that was sown 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Bring it back and use it and bring conviction and work mightily in our lives. Amen. We've got a great God. It's not much to you and I. And everybody will say amen. Amen. It's not much to you. You're not near the greater preacher you think you are. Amen. It's not much. We're a motley bunch.
Right.
Amen. That's right. If we got up tonight and began to talk about the cesspool of sin that God found us in.
Right.
Amen. The pit of unbelief and all the sin that hung on us, the rejection of God and how we've done despite to the Spirit of God as lost sinners, but yet He loved us and overwhelmed us with His love and compassion and saved us. And we say with Paul, we are what we are by the grace of God. It's nothing to us. Paul said, I am nothing. We need to have that attitude.
Amen.
In reality, we're nothing.
That's right.
apart from the grace of God. There are no big I's and little U's in God's army. It's all equal ground, level ground around the cross. Amen. Took as much grace to save that 7-year-old boy, that girl, as it did save a drunk and a doper.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Took as much grace. Amen. That's right. Took as much blood for Jesus Christ to save anybody. Amen. We got no room for pride. And we got no reason to be discouraged. Got a wonderful Lord. Amen. Not much to us, but it's a lot to Him.
Amen.
The sooner we learn that, the better off we're going to be.
You're
amen.
Right. Right.
Christ, can I preach just a little while tonight?
Amen.
These three questions that are asked in Isaiah 53. I believe what the Bible says, that the scripture, the prophecy of old was, came by holy men of God.
Yes,
they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God.
Sure, amen.
God spoke and holy men wrote.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible has many writers, but only one author.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost of God.
Right.
And I believe many times, especially when we begin to study the Old Testament prophets, many times they pinned down the words of God, prophecies concerning the will and work of God. They didn't fully understand all of what they were pinning down. They could not fathom how that God, the God that they knew, would bring to pass what He was telling them to write down in the Word of God. I believe to some degree, in some way, that's Isaiah's mindset as he pins down these words in Isaiah 53. These questions he asks causes me to think that he must have been thinking the way. The first question, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's going to declare His generation? I believe these three questions were asked maybe with a bit of amazement and wonder, maybe a bit of scratching his head, so to speak, and Lord, how in the world are you going to bring this to pass and expect people to believe it? But see, it's not up to the prophet to work out the details. It's up to the God that wrote the book, amen, to bring it to pass. But he asks these questions, and I believe we go back in chapter 52 and the last several verses of that chapter, we see a bit of the reasoning behind this and why these questions have arisen in his mind. It says in verse number 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently, speaking about our Lord.
Right.
He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now, Isaiah could say amen to all of that.
Sure.
Understand, we know that Isaiah is a Jew. He's of the nation of Israel.
Right.
Amen. And Israel has a promised Messiah.
Amen.
And can I say to you and I that are Gentiles, we have no promised Messiah.
Right.
God has promised us no Messiah. You just want to say amen.
Right.
Amen. God's promised us no king.
Right.
Amen. We've got a Savior.
Right.
All the same person. Amen.
Amen.
But we receive Him as our Savior and our Lord. But Israel has a promised Messiah. The King, the seed of David, is going to come and sit on the throne of his father David.
Amen.
Amen. He says over in the book of Revelation, not only is He the root of David, He's the seed of David, but He's also the root of David. Amen.
Amen,
friend. I don't have time to preach on that tonight, but amen. He's the one that brought David into existence, and He's also the fruit and the seed of David. Amen. And He's going to sit on the throne of His father, David.
Amen.
He's coming, and He's going to do that. And they well look for their Messiah. They looked for the promised seed of the woman that was going to come. And the one that was promised in the law and the covenants and all the prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked for Him to come in great power and great glory. They looked for Him to come in royalty and power and put down the Gentile rule and put down the Gentiles and exalt the nation of Israel to the place that they had prophesied that they would be. And they would inherit all the land. And Jesus Christ would rule the world alongside with the nation of Israel along His side. Rule the world. That day is coming. Amen. But that's who they were looking for. And somehow the Jews did not see the coming of the Christ child. Though Isaiah prophesied himself, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." But yet, Israel missed their Messiah when He came. They didn't understand that when He came. And the Jews were the one that so vehemently rejected Him and scorned Him and oftentimes picked up stones to stone this Jesus of Nazareth. It was the Jews that said, "Crucify Him. Crucify. We'll not have this man to rule over us." I think I've met some Baptists that had that mindset. Amen. The Jews, they were the one that cried for His crucifixion. "Let His blood be upon us," they said, "and upon our children." And I don't think they understood the ramifications of what they said. As God has smitten Israel today, since that hour with blindness, slumber, the spirit of slumber. Amen. Their Jew can be saved just like a Gentile. And I've met a few Jews that were saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. But the Jews as a nation of blind. They don't believe the New Testament is even the Word of God.
Right.
They don't believe that Jesus, they're yet looking for the Messiah. And He's coming.
Amen.
Amen. And they're going to understand then that they had crucified their Messiah. But Isaiah could well understand and identify verse number 13. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, deal wisely, and shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." He understood that. But oh, look at the next verse. I'm sure as he penned these words, he was scratching his head wondering, "Lord, how can it be?" Verse number 14. "As many were astounded at thee, his visage was so marred," that is, his appearance was so marred more than any man, "and his form more than the sons of men." Or they could well understand that he shall be exalted and he's going to be very high. They understood that and they were looking for Christ to come in that fashion. But oh, when he pins down, inspired of God, moved with the Holy Ghost to write down the Word of God, God said his visage is going to be so marred. He is going to be so mutilated. That it more than all the sons of me, more than all those upon the earth, this Messiah, this Christ of God that's going to come, born of a virgin, this child is going to come and he's going to die such an awful death and be rejected by mankind. Now, I'm sure Isaiah was scratching his head and said, "Lord, how can it be? How can he be highly, very highly exalted? And at the same time be mutilated and marred." Verse 15. "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider." Notice he said, he, speaking of Jesus, speaking of this one whose visage would be so marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of man, "he shall sprinkle many nations."
Amen.
And I'm sure when he penned that word down, nations plural, that Jewish mind of his had some difficulties getting his hands around what
That's
God
right.
was telling him.
Right.
You know, Jews are very proud people. Amen. They are very sanctified people. What I mean, to themselves. Amen. And I'm not criticizing them for that. But I'm saying to you, back in the day of the Old Testament era, that God only called one nation. Amen. And let me say this while I'm past. America is not God's covenant nation. Amen. America is a nation of heathens that need to get saved by the grace of God. America is not a Christian nation. Amen. Amen. You could almost say America is a nation of Satan. Yeah, I know you don't book many meetings saying all that. Sin abounds. Sin abounds. I mean, sin is so flagrant and so obvious in our generation that there's a time that people never dreamed of what is going on so publicly is going on today in this America of ours. Amen. America needs God. I know traveling up the highway coming here and other places you go, I see signs and billboards all up and down the road, God bless America. And when I see that, I can't help but to say, how can He? God would almost have to compromise Himself and His person to bless this nation of ours and the government of our country. Yes, amen. Amen. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Even if that group of people call themselves a Baptist church, sin is a reproach to that people. Amen? And I'm sure when Isaiah read, He shall sprinkle many nations. When he read that word sprinkle, or wrote that word sprinkle down, surely his mind thought of the offerings. The Jewish offerings and the blood that was shed is a picture and a type of Christ. Surely he understood there that he's talking about this man that's coming is going to be highly exalted, but yet at the same time his vengeance is going to be marred more than any man. And in this marring of his vengeance, of this mutilating of him, this offering up of him as a sacrifice, his blood is going to sprinkle many nations. Not just Israel, but many nations. Brethren, that took in me and you. Amen. Gentile dogs that we are. Amen. That's right. Amen. It took in us. I'm saying to you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, primarily made up of Gentile people. Well, this means yes. Amen. Thank God a Jew can get saved anyway. You deal with the day of Pentecost. Primarily, you're dealing with a Jewish situation. 3,000 got saved that day. That's 3,000 Jews that got saved that day. Amen. You with me? Primarily, in the early days of the church, you're dealing with the gospel to the Jew because the gospel is to the Jew first. Amen. But also to the Greek and the Gentile. Amen. Amen. Primarily, the church is made up of Gentiles. Amen. And I said that to say this. It wasn't an afterthought of God. It wasn't an emergency salvage program that all of a sudden God's darling son has so lived his life. He has so conducted himself to such a way that mankind has rejected him and they have killed the Son of God. And God's in heaven wringing his hands and saying, "My, what am I going to do now?" No, my friend. Before the foundations of the world, God had in his mind not only a nation of Israel, but God had in his mind a Gentile bride, amen, a born again sinner saved by the grace of God. By his blood, he'd sprinkle many nations. Amen. He had me in that. Had you in that, amen. He had everybody included in the sacrifice of his son. Isaiah's pinning that down. He's scratching his head and sweating, and I don't know if he had a secretary around or not, but he may have, took the parchment and said, "Yeah, but read this." You know, he was a contemporary with Hezekiah. Amen? He may have sought out the king, Hezekiah, and said, "Hey, this is what God told me to write today. Can you help me with this?" And Hezekiah may have scratched his head and said, "Man, Never seen it on this fashion." Amen. And maybe Isaiah goes back to his study, his place of quietness, and there the Holy Ghost It's working on him. But writing the Word of God.
Amen.
And Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? Who has believed? Who will believe that the Messiah, the Christ of God, it's going to be so mutilated and despised. He is going to be so disrespected.
Yes, sir.
Right. More than any man. And through that, these Gentile heathens are going to be sprinkled. Going to be sprinkled with the blood. Who's going to, he knew he was historian enough to know of his own people. He knew that Israel would never accept that kind of Messiah. Who hath believed our report? And I believe I can say tonight, I think we know who's going to believe the report. I believe the report. Amen. I believe the report. I've never seen Jesus. I'm no kin to Oral Roberts. I haven't seen 1,100 foot Jesus. Amen. Jesus is bigger than that. Amen. Amen. I've never seen anything, and I have had a few good feelings sometimes. Amen. And I haven't had anything mystical or some kind of vision, and I've had none of that. But I simply heard the story that I am a sinner. That you're going to hell without Christ. But Jesus Christ died for you. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save you. And I said, I believe it. And God saved us by the grace of God. Without a feeling. Without a chill up down my backbone. With nothing but sheer naked faith in the Word of God. Who's going to believe the report? I believe it. The Bible says in Acts 15, old James said at the first church conference, the legalizers, the Judaizers, and some have talked about legalists here, and the average person today talking about legalists doesn't have enough sense to know what a legalist is. Amen. A legalist is somebody that adds any kind of work or anything you must do to salvation. Amen. Amen. The Carmelites. It says you got to be baptized in order to be saved. They are legalists. They are really legalists. Amen. I got saved before I was baptized. Amen. Amen. And I got saved in July. I wasn't baptized till October. Amen. But I saved in July. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'll be quite honest with you. I got saved before they ever got me to the Roman Expressway. Amen. Before they ever got to read it to me. Amen. When I walked out of there, I was sitting way back toward the back of the tent. And God broke my heart. I was weeping. I told me the night I got saved. Amen. And that night that I got saved, that man stepped aside, and finally the preacher said, somebody get that young man back there. He needs to get saved. And I walked out, that man stepped aside. The man that was at his funeral last February when I was coming out to the meeting, and he died and I'd be part of the funeral. He would invite me to Christ and invited me to the meeting. I was sitting with him. And he stepped aside to let me out of the aisle. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
When I come out of that aisle, my foot, it's done. It's, I was in. About to drop dead, the heart attack before I took another, I was in.
Yes, sir.
He said, preacher, you never got to the altar. Oh, friend, I'd been to the altar a long time. Amen. I was in. Amen. He said, preacher, you didn't even own a Bible. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16, but I was in. I was in. I was in Christ, and Christ was in me. I believe the report. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. So how do you know you believe it? Because I'm still believing it. How do you know you repented when you got saved? I'm still repenting. Amen. Amen. At least somebody said the other night, repentance is not just a one-time act when you say. If you really repent, you'll keep on repenting. Amen. Surely, surely there's nobody here tonight that thinks that you haven't sinned since you got saved. Still repenting. Oh, as our brother preached this morning. Boy, wasn't the preaching good. Preached this morning about prayer. Oh, and I thought, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Lord, help me.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that you may be different. I don't know, but that's the biggest battleground that I fight. I ain't talking about saying prayers.
Right.
I'm talking about getting somewhere and alone and getting a hold of God.
Right.
Amen. Not just spilling out our wish list and want list.
Right.
I'm talking about communing in the Holy Ghost with God.
Yes, sir.
That's the biggest battleground. See, if the devil can keep us out of that closet, you with me? You're not going to do much nowhere else.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Right. I thought as the preacher preached, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I want to do better than my prayer life.
Amen.
I'm talking about repenting.
Right.
You keep on repenting. You see your shortcomings. After you see all this, and Lord, forgive me. Lord, clean. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. And I know I repented because I'm still repenting. I know I believe because I'm still believing it. Who have believed our report? I believe the church, the Gentile bride, can testify to the believed report. Quickly, I got to hurry. The second question in verse number 1. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's going to believe what I'm writing? Isaiah is saying, who's going to believe it? And he asked the question, almost a Siamese twin to that question.
Yes.
To whom is? And I'm sure this may be going back to that sprinkle many nations.
Yeah.
To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Yes.
Never you read in the scriptures about the arm of God.
Yes.
Something about the power
right.
and authority of God.
Right.
Who does God reveal His power to?
Yes.
Who does God invest His power in?
Right.
Who, to whom is the arm of the Lord? Why, no doubt they thought, Israel, surely we'll flex our muscles. We worship Jehovah God. And keep in mind, talking about Gentile. Keep in mind now, just about ballpark numbers now, about 700 years, 750 years before Isaiah, Israel has crossed the Jordan River.
Uh-huh.
Joshua has led them in the will of God into Canaan land.
Uh-huh.
And who was living in Canaan land? Gentile, pagan,
right.
heathens.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and all the rest of the
Hittites. Yeah,
that's who was living.
Right.
Gentile, idol worshippers,
yep. wow.
pagan. And God warned them over and over again, do not, when you get in the land, do not learn the ways of the heathen.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good message to be preached today in our churches.
Heathen.
Don't learn their ways. He warned them. It says, when I bring you into the land flowing with milk and honey, you're going to inherit cities,
yes,
vineyards that you did not build and you have not labored. And you're going to enter this land. I'm going to give you this land. But don't learn the ways of the heathen that built that city.
Amen.
And he saw the Gentiles as they were slaughtered.
Right.
You with me?
Yes.
As they were driven out, many of them taken in even as slaves and servants. They saw that and they had a disdain and a hatred for the Gentile people. But Jesus said, I'm going to sprinkle many nations. I'm going to save some of those Gentile dogs, those heathen idols. I'm going to save them and make a precious child of God out of them. To whom is the arm, the power, the strong arm of God revealed? To. I think we can find the Bible answer. Yo, I'm not going to turn there, be too long, but if you go to Matthew chapter 11, 12. Remember Matthew chapter 11? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, who? All ye. Well, he'd been just preaching to Israel. But now he says, come unto me, all ye, even the Samaritans, those half-breeds. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and my burden's light. Amen. Well, you ever heard it said, it's so hard to be a Christian?
Yeah.
Jesus said, my burden's light. If it's so hard for you to be a Christian, you must be carrying something Jesus didn't give you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I mean, you're telling me it's hard to... Are you listening to me? Is it hard to stay sober?
No, sir.
It's hard not to drink beer and liquor and take dope and go to the crack house. Is it hard as a Christian?
No.
I mean, you have problems staying sober? Friend, you're not a Christian.
Right.
You're just a lost religious person.
Right.
You need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God has saved you, sober you up, and keep you sober.
Amen.
Amen. He won't stop you from drinking. He'll just change your fountain.
That's
right. Amen. I'll be drinking out of water. Amen.
Amen.
And the well will get in you.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you may not believe it, but it's true. I steal these hands. They're not as agile as they used to be.
Right.
But I feel like I do. I still have enough strength in my hands that I can twist the top off a Bud Light. Talk to me. I think I could still do that. I can twist that top off. You with me?
Yes, sir.
I'll pop the top.
Yep.
But I haven't popped the top and I hadn't twisted one off in 42 years. It's not because I don't have physical ability to do so. And I know looking at me you can't tell, but I'm old enough to go to the liquor store. But I haven't been.
Right.
I've been one time. Amen. My goal when I was lost, just before I got saved in July and my birthday was in August. I'd be 21. Back then you had to be 21 to go to the liquor store. My goal was I'm going to the liquor store and buy all the law allow you to buy. I don't know, something like 8/5 or something other. I don't know what it was back in the day. But that was my goal. Boy, we're just going to throw down. I mean, have a shindig. But God saved me.
Amen.
2 weeks before my birthday, I never did get to go. Hallelujah. And the only time I've been in, we was out on the street preaching and passing out tracts in front of the liquor store in South Boston, Virginia. And I talked to a man, and I knew the man. And he knew me. And I was talking to him about the Lord, and I had the Bible. I was showing him things, and see this, you know, and I was talking with him, and walking on with him. And I came to myself, I stand in front of the counter of the liquor store. I said, buddy, I ain't got no business being in here, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going back on the street corner where I belong. That's the only time I've been in the liquor store.
Amen.
But I'm saying to you, physically, I can walk. I could walk in the door. I think I could open the door.
Yep.
I'm old enough, and I've got enough money to buy some.
Yeah.
You with me?
Right.
But I don't buy any. I don't go.
Right.
And I don't lay in the bed shaking because I'm not going. Amen. Praise God, I got something I never got over yet. Amen. Amen. It's as real and as fresh tonight as it was when He gave it to me. Thank God for the well. It's in our soul springing up. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Matthew chapter 12. They come to him, he's teaching, and I don't have time to turn there, but they say, your mother and your brethren, they're outside, they won't talk to you. And he turns and looks. And he said, whosoever doeth the will of my Father, these are my brethren.
That's right.
Whosoever.
Amen.
Whosoever. First
Amen.
Time, whosoever is found in the New Testament has come from the lips of our Lord. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whosoever will.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that's right. Amen. God save anybody.
Amen.
I believe Brother Ballou said that last. You can't preach to the wrong person.
Right.
You can't witness to the wrong person.
Yeah.
I mean, you're foolish. You said, right, I wonder if he's one of the elect or not. Friend, if he'll get saved, God elect him.
Amen.
Amen. If he'll get saved, God will elect him. Amen. Amen. If he'll receive Jesus Christ and his blood, God will elect him.
Amen.
Amen. You can't witness to the wrong person. Everybody's a candidate. Everybody's an applicant for the redemption of Jesus Christ. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to anybody that gets saved. Anybody that will trust Christ. Anybody. I don't care who you are. Where you are. You don't have to be in America. Amen. Missionary going everywhere. He'll save a Russian. Amen. We heard that there last night.
Amen.
He'll save anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. He'll save you if you're not saved.
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
It don't make a difference what you've done, where you've gone, who your parents were, your background.
Right.
Make any difference. Make any difference what your name is.
Right.
Oh, your family name. I've had a lot of wicked people in my family. I have too.
Sure.
Amen.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. Somebody was talking, I believe the pastor last night mentioned, I don't know, was in service afterwards, about a relative that drank and died drunk. And I thought as you said it, brother, I've had relatives that died.
That's right.
Same way.
Yep.
And it had not been for the grace of God,
yep,
I'd died that way.
You're right. Yeah.
Hallelujah for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for the grace of God.
Yes.
They told me he's gone crazy. When I got saved, my brother said he's gone crazy. He's got on some bad stuff, and I mean he's out there now. You with me?
Yeah.
They said down the local beer joint, they said it won't be long. He'll be back. He's just having a time of something now. We don't know what's going on with him. He's crazy, crying around everywhere. Thinks everybody ought to get saved. Hallelujah. I still think everybody ought to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. He's going crazy. He's a fanatic. My daddy told me, said, you've been brainwashed.
Yes.
And I said, no, Dad, I've been blood washed.
Amen.
He's been brainwashed.
Amen.
I ain't crazy.
Amen.
I was crazy before I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm like that maniac. I just now got my good sense.
Amen.
Amen. Sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So like that maniac when he got saved, I want to go with him.
Yes,
amen. Jesus, wherever you go, I want to be with you.
Right.
Amen. God help us. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revealed to whosoever, to anybody. If you'll trust Jesus Christ, God will invest His power in your life.
That's right.
Well, I don't know whether I can live it. I can tell you now, I can help you. You can't. Forget it. Amen. Forget that question. That's nothing but a lie of the devil. That's nothing but a decoy and a delay and a sidetrack of the devil. I can't live it. No, you can't live it. I can't either. Amen. 42 years and I still can't live it. Amen. You with me?
Yes, sir.
I can't live the Christian life. Amen. But I got somebody in me that can. Amen. There's somebody God in me that night. The Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And He is the power of the Holy God that He invests in our life. And He will lead us.
Amen.
Lead us once you get saved. Well, I didn't even have a Bible when I got saved. How about that? Amen. You know, and I really... When I got saved, I was more separating some Christians I've met. I didn't even own a television when I got saved.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Amen. It's called I didn't have money to buy one.
Yeah.
I didn't have no conviction about none of that. Amen. I just didn't have one.
Yeah.
Amen. You with me? I didn't know nothing. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you'll trust Christ, Christ will be everything He said He would be and more to you.
Amen.
You will find Him the greatest. You will find Him closer than a brother. You'll find Him your all in all. You'll find Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The brethren will disappoint you. Somebody say amen.
Yes,
boy, the brethren will disappoint you sometimes. Family may disappoint you sometimes. You will even disappoint yourself sometimes.
Yes,
but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. Jesus Christ will never be less than what He said He is to you. Oh, not just to Dr. So-and-so, or not just to some great, well-known, to you that are saved in the grace of God. If you're the little child that got saved last week, Jesus Christ will be to you what He said He would.
Amen.
Everybody. Says who shall declare His generation? To who will believe the report?
the Gentile bride, the church.
Right.
To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whosoever will.
Amen.
If you'll trust Christ. Who shall declare his generation quickly? Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 5, Peter testifying to that gang of Jews, said, we are his witnesses.
Yeah.
Jesus, but we are Jesus' witness. So is also the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Who shall declare his generation? Who is going to preach? Who is going to tell of him that died in such shame, died in such disgrace, died, the great Messiah has died?
Yes, sir.
Who's going to declare his generation? The Bible says in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Amen.
Who's going to declare his generation? The bride of Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Boy, that blesses my heart.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it encourages me. I'm talking about in the ministry of witnessing and preaching. Amen. To know if we'll sow the seed, the Holy Ghost will draw.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Ghost will work.
Thanks.
You know, I hear this a lot, different places. You know, the statement's made, and I probably said it myself. You know, Lord's not doing anything. What a false statement that is.
Right.
That God's not doing, you mean? Well, you mean God's not doing nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible says, by him all things consist.
Right, right.
That means he's pretty busy. All things consist. By him, he's pretty busy.
Yeah. Right.
It's never a day, but there's never a second that God is not involved absolutely, wholeheartedly in the work of redemption.
Amen.
For the sons of men.
That's right.
God is not less concerned today than he was in the book of Acts.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost is not less concerned tonight than he was in the 1940s, in the 1950s.
That's right. Yeah.
You with me?
Yes,
when you put up a tent, thousands would come. You put up a tent now and you can shoot through it and not even hit anybody. And I know. I've done quite a bit of that. Not shooting, amen. I'm talking about putting up tents. Amen. I had a few, praise God, I think I like took a shot at, amen. I didn't. Who's going to declare his generation? God's concerned. God's just involved. And I've been blessed this week. And I've got to quit. I've been blessed. Preacher, I've been blessed to be here. I've been blessed by the preaching, the testimony of these missionaries.
Amen.
Amen. To seeing how God is working. You know, if you think that God's not doing nothing where you are, that there's one or two things that need to happen. Either you need to get right with God so God can bless you.
Yep.
Oh, you need to move your address to where God is because God is at work.
Amen.
See, now God met the needs of these missionaries to testify.
Right.
Buildings. People.
Man.
How God is blessed. God has spoken to hearts. God's not doing anything. Oh, friend, you're looking in the wrong direction.
Right.
Amen. Amen. God's still calling preachers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. God's calling. It's not, I do not believe that preacher, I've got to twist God's arm to get him to move in the house of God.
Right.
I don't believe I've got to put pressure upon God in some way to get God to do anything. I don't believe a word of that. I believe God is just as anxious. He's just, and I say that in the right way, don't misunderstand me. God is just as interested. God just as longs to bless us as he ever has. And I believe God moves.
Amen.
I believe God speaks to heart. Every time the Word of God's preached, I believe God speaks to heart.
Amen.
Where are we at today? It's not God's not moving. But it's people are not moving
right.
Toward God.
Right.
People are not responding to Him. And it breaks His heart.
Yes, sir.
Breaks His heart. It ought to break our heart.
Sure.
But people are not responding. Many times, I believe you're talking about having revival. Boy, and how we need it. I mean, we need an old time real. I don't even know, and I preached a lot of revival meetings, and I'm for them.
Sure.
But I don't know so much so we need a revival meeting. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But we need revival.
Sure, that's right.
We need revival.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
need revival. And God's people get right with God.
Amen.
God's people begin to submit themselves. Amen. To the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say, submit is the biblical word. You study this Bible, you won't find the word surrender in the Bible anywhere. Amen. If we speak, we're to speak as the oracles of God. And the word surrender is not in the Bible.
Right.
The word submission is in the Bible.
Right.
Submit yourself unto the Lord.
Amen.
Submit. Surrender. You can surrender and not be a willing surrender.
Right.
And we understand that. Now, Cornwallis. Well, you know, we read a little bit about Cornwallis.
Yep.
When we won our independence from England. And Cornwallis surrendered to George Washington in Yorktown, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You with me?
Yes.
And you know how he got caught in such a dilemma? He had shipped his foxhounds over here from England because he loved the fox hunt. He was out fox hunting, and George Washington, the old fox he is, he found that out, and he slipped in and had him red-handed.
Yeah.
And he had to surrender.
Amen.
And when he surrendered, when Cornwallis surrendered, he did not come and surrender himself personally to George Washington. He sent a lesser officer with his sword to George Washington, and George Washington would not receive the sword. He sent a lesser officer to receive it. I like it, don't you?
Amen,
amen, I like it. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm saying you, Cornwallis surrendered.
Yeah.
Against his will,
right.
But he surrendered.
Right. Yeah.
Submission, my friend, is with your will.
Right.
A willing submission to the Lord. Submission to the Lordship of Christ. There is no such thing as making Him Lord in your life after you say. The battleground is submission to His Lordship.
Amen.
I'll make Him Lord. God's already made Him Lord. Amen. My responsibility and obligation is submission to Him. Willingly, lovingly submit to His will.
Amen.
Whatever He wants.
Amen.
Make the difference.
Amen.
Then by the grace of God, learn to be satisfied with Jesus Christ and what He does.
Amen.
You know, that's what gets us in trouble.
Right.
We see someone else. We hear somebody else. Their church, they started a church and they've been there for a year and they got 50 people coming.
Yep.
I've been there several years and I got a dozen coming.
Yep.
Begin to compare ourselves with ourselves. First thing you know, the flesh rises up in jealousy and bitterness. And next thing you know, you're beating yourself up. Saying, boy, I must not be doing the will of God. I thought you said God led you there. Huh?
Yeah.
Friend, I'm not responsible for the results.
Right.
Amen. I can't get anybody saved.
No.
Amen. I even question whether really there's such a thing as a soul winner. Oh, I went over like a lead balloon. I quite wonder. I mean, these great souls. I wish you'd get in the car and come on with me. I got some relatives. I mean, I got some people I love and love dearly. They're lost. They're going to hell just as sure as I'm standing where I'm at if they don't get saved. And if you can win them, I wish you'd come with me and win them.
Yes, sir.
I've witnessed to them, pray for them, try to live for God in front of them, but I ain't seen them get saved yet. I don't have the power. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the ability to win them.
You're right.
There's not but one soul winner.
Sure.
That's the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
That's only, I mean, preaching is no more than beating your gums against one another. Unless the Holy Ghost, I mean, Paul said it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Unless the Holy Ghost of God takes the Word of God and makes it real in the heart of the hearer.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost can win a soul.
Yes,
amen. The Holy Ghost can birth a soul.
Yes,
and the Holy Ghost can change a soul.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost can make a saint out of a sinner.
Amen.
I don't know how to do that.
Right.
Amen. I thank God every once in a while I get to stand by and watch the Holy Ghost do it. Amen. I say praise God. Amen.
Amen.
But I can't do it. I just can't do it. He can.
Yes, he can.
Who's going to declare his generation? The Spirit and the bride.
Amen.
Say, come. God's church all down through the centuries. From the day of Pentecost. You with me? Down through the centuries. Some better than 2,000 years. He's been standing on the side of the highway of life. Saying, come. Like that woman at the well.
Yeah.
Come see a man.
Yeah.
Told me everything. All things ever to come. Said, never been anybody like him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. To you that believe, he is precious.
Yes, he is.
Even the word precious means unique, one of a kind. I've never met anybody like Jesus Christ.
Yes,
I've never been able to recommend anybody like I can recommend Jesus.
Right.
Amen. He'll never fail you.
Amen.
He'll never fumble the ball.
Right.
Amen. He'll never come up short. Amen. Amen. I believe Brother Lou said it right. Amen. His match has never been failed.
Amen.
He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Yes, sir.
In the church. I'm talking about the real born-again church, saved people. God's church. He's been on the side of the highway saying, come. Come to Jesus.
Amen.
God's church is not saying, come get in the baptismal pool. Come on, talk to me. God's church is saying, come to Jesus.
Right.
See, if you get to Jesus, there won't be no problem getting in that baptismal pool.
Right.
You know, somebody wrote a book one time, How to Baptize More Converts. Well, it's to have more converts. That's how you baptize more. But once they get saved, they don't mind getting in the water. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, really get saved real good. I'm talking about really get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. The Holy Ghost declares and the church declares. The only people in all the world that God has as a witness is you and I that are saved.
That's right.
There's billions of people in this world, they tell me. But only you that are saved will God use to spread His gospel.
Amen.
But in amazing, and I'm done with this, Acts chapter 10, there Cornelius had been praying, a lost man. Been praying. I mean, he'd been praying so much so that his prayers has come up as an alms before the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord dispatched an angel and tapped old Cornelius on the shoulder. Said, hey, buddy, I got good news for you. You send to Joppa. There's a man down yonder named Simon Peter. Should you go get him and bring him up here and he'll tell you what you need to know.
Amen.
Amen. Now, friend, listen to me. Don't you know that that angel knew who Jesus was? Don't you know that that angel was well aware that Jesus had left glory, had been crucified, had resurrected, had ascended, was seated at the right hand of the Father, and would save whosoever? Don't you know that angel knew that? But God hasn't chosen to use angels. God's chosen to use redeemed sinners. Amen. To tell other sinners how to know the Savior that they can go to heaven when they die. Said, you go get Peter. He can tell you something. Amen. Boy, I want to be like that, don't you? Boy, I don't know that God sends angels like that today. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I like to be somebody that God said, you go get that fellow. Go get Whitlow. He can tell you how to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like for God to have that kind of confidence. That kind of trust.
Sure.
I tell the truth about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's all that He's called us to do.
That's right.
It's just tell the truth about Jesus. And He'll do everything else that needs to be done.
Amen.
But He needs your voice as a witness.
Amen.
As a testimony. Your life and voice as a testimony of the power of God.
Amen.
God can use you. He can use anybody.
Sure He can.
They're saved. By the grace of God, preacher, you come.